Luke chapter number 7 and verse number 24. And when the messengers of John, speaking by the way of John the Baptist, we'll find that out. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. And we're going to preach a message this morning entitled, The Prophet Who Amazed Jesus. The Prophet Who Amazed Jesus. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. And Lord, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask, Lord, that maybe for as a bonus, we could really feel your presence this morning. Now we know, Lord, and believe by faith that you're here because you've promised where two or three are gathered together. In your name, you'd be there in the midst of them. But Lord, it's always good when we feel and sense the presence of God in our own life, in our own heart during a message. And Lord, we want to be attuned to what you want to teach us this morning. And Lord, if there's one person that walked in this morning with the idea of critiquing a message, I pray, Lord, that you would quickly change their heart and instead allow them to open their heart and be touched by a message. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven. We need your sweet Holy Spirit to make his precious way up and down each aisle, giving to each what we need, whether maybe we understand we need it or not. Open our hearts, open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, I thank you for the folks that have assembled here. What a blessing to be able to preach to this group here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I decided that for the next four Sunday mornings, look right up this way, for the next four Sunday mornings, and I wanted to mention the fans, and I want you all to look at them right now and get it out of your system, amen, all right? My biggest thought when I came in here and flipped them on this morning was no one is going to hear anything I say. They're going to be watching the fans, amen. We've got them turning slowly. We're going to experiment a little bit with them, watch the temperature, and try to get things adjusted. But isn't that a blessing, amen? And that's going to help us both in the summertime to keep this cool, and I think in the wintertime also to be able to properly distribute our heat and to save us a little money. And we've set this auditorium up now. This is exciting. And this has all been done very, very scientifically, but it's now set up where every single person that comes in here will be perfectly comfortable. But we invested some money. We want you to be comfortable. We want the services to go well. So look up there. And yeah, I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're trying to count while they're going around, trying to take all the mystery out of it. Yes, they go up and down. Anything you can think of, ask me after the service. And we'll focus in on the message now, okay? Here's what I'm going to do for the next four Sunday mornings, unless the Lord just changes my mind or changes my heart about it. But on Wednesday nights, we're preaching on the 10 most notorious villains of the Bible. And we've covered two thus far, although I did give a quick homage to Lot. I'm not going to include Lot in my list of 10. And some of the folks are already filling out their list. And I've seen one guy's list. It was kind of shocking because Don Mowry was on that list, you know. And I made him correct that immediately. I said, no, we're talking about in the Bible, not in our church, in the Bible. You know, let's get this straightened out. And Brother Don, I fixed that, so amen. I'm not going to put up with that kind of stuff around this place. But on Wednesday night, I'm preaching on the 10 most notorious villains of the Bible. And then I got to thinking because by nature, I'm not really a negative person. And it's really hard for me to kind of take a theme like that and to get excited about it and stay with it. But we're learning some important things, and I think it's going to be helpful and beneficial. And but this morning I got to thinking and praying this week, and I wanted to been stirred in my heart again about a subject that I think will be a blessing, and this maybe has a little bit more positive vein to it, but I'd like to take 4 Sunday mornings, and I'm going to preach this message on the 4 people who amazed Jesus. The 4 people who amazed Jesus. And we're going to cover 1 this week, and then 1 in each consecutive the following 3 weeks. You know, I'd like to live my life in such a way as to gain the admiration of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, when Satan appears before the throne of God as he did in the book of Job, wouldn't it be great to live your life in such a way where God could spend a little time bragging about you? Have you considered my servant? You see, folks, if we would get it in our hearts in Christianity today that it's more important to please God than it is to please men, if we become more concerned about our reputation in heaven than we are our reputation on earth, I think maybe we would be headed in the right direction for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's 4 people, at least 4 that I've selected out of the Gospels, that were 4 people that while Jesus was in the form of flesh, walking as God, the God-man here on earth, there was 4 people that arrested his attention. There was 4 people that gained his admiration. There was 4 people that he thought enough of what they had done or what they had said to stop everything he was doing and make a proclamation or announcement about how amazing it was to the other people around them. And so this morning we're going to kick off that series of 4 sermons by preaching on this. Number 1, the prophet who amazed Jesus. Pastor Ross, I really think we could have revival in America if we could get a bunch of preachers to be more concerned about gaining the admiration of God than they are the admiration of their people or their peers. I'm convinced that we have a lot of politicians, but very few prophets in the pulpits. And when I look at a man like this, it arrests my attention because as a man that's been called of God to preach the gospel, when Jesus stops and says, hey, here's a guy you ought to look at, here's a preacher you ought to look at, because I'm going to tell you something, I like the way he's put that, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet. Well, I think that pretty much covers all the prophets. You know, if I remember biology correctly, I think that pretty much covers them all. All right, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, the prophet who amazed Jesus. Now, what I'd like you young men and young ladies to do for a few minutes, sit up straight and tall and listen, because I'm just going to tell you the story of a man that amazed Jesus. We're going to take our Bibles and flip around a little bit and read them, but it'd be kind of like mom or dad sitting down and saying, listen, I want to tell you a story about great-grandpa, or I want to tell you about somebody that you're related to that maybe you're not aware of their life and how many incredible things they did, or maybe it's not somebody you're related to. Listen, there's a somebody in history, like we're doing with the American History Fair. There's somebody that's probably been overlooked that maybe you don't even know who they are, or maybe their name is vaguely familiar, but you have forgotten what great things they have done. And that's what I want to do, is I want to tell you the story of a man who was just a man. But he conducted himself in such a way that it gained the respect and admiration of Jesus Christ. He was a prophet, but there were scores of prophets throughout history. But here's one that Jesus stopped and pointed to and said, listen, among those born of woman, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. You know what? I want to live my life in such a way where I get so focused, so consumed in pleasing God that, you know what? I just kind of forget everything else but that. That'd be a good way to live. Be a good way to live. Now, young people, listen to me. Teenagers, you are at an age where you are prime. To fall prey to this whole idea of being controlled by peer pressure. And if you're not careful, pretty soon, it's more important what those around you, what horizontally those around you think, and vertically what the Lord Jesus thinks about you. And let me encourage you, listen, be a teenager that amazes Jesus. You have children that are in this room. Listen, I mean this. There's been times when children have just amazed me. amaze me at something they said, amaze me at something they did for the Lord. That for their age, they would have that level of consciousness in order to want to please God and do something for God. I'm probably embarrassed my youngest daughter here a little bit, but I'm going to tell you something. A few years ago, she amazed me. Now, she amazes me every day, but not always in the same way. She decided a few years ago that too young to get a job. Amanda started working. Hannah starts working. She doesn't have a way to really make any money. She went out and filled applications. Not too many people hiring, 7-year-olds at the time. And so, Dad, what do I do? And I said, well, listen, if you'll collect cans around here, and maybe you can put a little thing out there in the gym and collect some cans, and maybe you can, every once in a while, every few months, if you'll crush them and keep them in bags, I'll drive you over to the recycling place, and you can turn them in, and you can put that money in your savings account. You can tithe off of it and put it on your savings account and start building a little money. And she began to do that. She got busy about that, and boy, soon folks around the church heard about it. Some of you still, to this day, bring Tabitha bags of cans. That's good. Keep it coming, all right? Keep those cans coming. And she began to collect these cans, and she was so passionate and wanted so bad to gain, and she had a goal of how much she was, and I didn't know what was going on. I was totally in the dark. I just thought, you know what? She just wants to gain some money to save. She just wants to gain some money to put in an account, and I just figured she was greedy like her mother, and didn't think too much about it, and she's not in here. Amen. I'm always braver when my wife's not in here, all right? And I probably wouldn't have said that if she was in here. But I thought, and then all of a sudden, Cheryl told me one day, she said, you know what she's doing? I said, no. She said, Jerry, she won't stop talking about this. There's a little girl on her bus route that wants to go to junior church and can't, and she don't have a dime to her name. This is what this is all about. Listen, she spent months collecting these cans, crushing these cans, bugging Dad into driving her back and forth so that she could walk in and sit down. Listen, things like that amaze me. Amazed, not just because it's my daughter, just because a child would be that tender-hearted to want to help somebody. In this selfish world, that's amazing. And you know what? If I was a child, I would decide that I was going to live my life in such a way where God would look down and say, isn't that amazing? Look at that young person. Isn't that amazing? Look at that. Look at that young person going to the public school and carrying gospel tracts with them and passing them out. Isn't that amazing? Look at that young child going to a public school and carrying his Bible with him. Isn't that amazing? Look at that young child going to the school and going up and down those hallways where he hears God blasphemed and God made fun of, and yet he stands up for the Lord and isn't afraid to share his testimony, not afraid to be a Christian. Isn't that amazing? Hey, why don't we all decide we're going to live in such a way that it'll amaze God? Who cares what man thinks? Who cares what your peers think? What does God think about your life? And here's a prophet that amazed Jesus. Now, can we do a little, you be patient with me here, and let's just take the Word of God. I mean, it's in the Bible, and it's good stuff. But let's do a little history lesson on this man by the name of John the Baptist. Luke chapter number 1, please. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 30. The birth of John the Baptist was pretty amazing. The birth of John the Baptist was pretty amazing. Can we just read this and I'll maybe toss out some truths, some precepts, some principles of the Word of God? Look at verse number 30 of Luke chapter number 1. This is the angel of the Lord appearing unto Mary, who would become the mother of Jesus. And they begin, and we kind of jump in and interrupt this conversation in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Boy, young people, are you listening to this? Are you getting this? When Jesus came down to earth, he was God in the flesh. He was to be called the Son of God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because Jesus means Savior. He's the Savior. Boy, what exciting news, you see. Now look, and let's pick it up, verse number 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son. Watch this. Miraculously, folks, in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was barren. So she had two strikes against her. First of all, she was physically, she was unable to have children. She was barren. Plus, she was past the time to have children. And yet, God performed a miracle and placed within her womb and gave her womb life. And John the Baptist was being carried around in Mary's cousin. You know, I just got a sense that this was a pretty godly family. I mean, if God's going to choose two women, one to carry the Son of God and to be virgin born, and one to be blessed to carry the prophet that's going to pave the way for him, and they happen to be cousins out of the same family, somebody's doing a pretty good job here. Amen. Isn't that something? Notice this, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. Now listen, I liked John the Baptist even before he was born. Let's keep reading. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. That means she did this. That means she said, hi, cuz, or something like that, you know. And in verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, saying, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. From whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. I already like this guy, and he's not even born. You know what? When Jesus got within shouting distance, John the Baptist was still in his womb and he's jumping for joy. He's leaping for joy. Oh, I wish we could get excited about Jesus. Did you hear me? Oh, I wish we could get excited about Jesus. We get excited about football. We get excited about baseball. We get excited about our hobbies. Somebody says Jesus and we go, I think this is one of the reasons he was a great prophet. Listen, even from his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Even from his mother's womb, he was excited about the Lord, the coming of the Lord. You see, what an amazing birth. Can I have you jump down to verse 57? This is a fascinating story. This will just help you know the Bible a little bit. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. But his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Praise the Lord. You know, parents, let me just give you something here. Can I just give you a quick little thing here? When your children are born, all of the world, all of the community, and a lot of times all your family wants to come and direct him in a direction opposite of what God wants to direct him in. Yeah, they do. The world wants to sell you books. The world wants to run its TV programs. They want to sell you DVDs. They want to tell you, listen, you had a child. Name him this. Set him off in this direction. Would to God we had more parents that said, listen, his name is John. His name is John. He's been separated unto the Lord to serve the Lord and to fulfill the Lord's will for his life. His name is John. We're not going to raise him the same as other people raise their children. Why? His name is John. We're not going to teach him the thing. Listen, things that are important to the world aren't going to be important to him. Why? His name is John. His name is John. Hey, Christian parents aren't to raise their children the same as the world raises their children. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's not supposed to be the same. Why? Because we understand when we're given a child that it's a gift from God. God's just lent us that child. They don't belong to us. They're lent to us for a short time. Why? So we can raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and get them prepared to complete whatever it is God's called them to do. That's the purpose of Christian parents. What an exciting thing to do. And I just like that. Now, if you will, let me jump down, please, to verse number 80. Can we just read verse number 80? We talked a little bit about the birth of John the Baptist, and it was miraculous, but can I just, for a second, just touch real quickly on his upbringing? Brother Jerry doesn't say a whole lot about it. No, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. Maybe quantity-wise it doesn't say much, but quality is there. I mean, it says a lot in a few words. Let me encourage you parents again, because verse number 80, notice this, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Oh, I wish we understood that. I wish we really understood what that means. What's wrong with raising children that are spiritual? Why isn't that the norm? You see, I think the reason that down the road John the Baptist was as strong as he was and could do what he did and take the stands that he did was, you know what? Mom and Dad wasn't concerned about whether or not he made the baseball team or the basketball team or all of his physical prowess. And I'm not against all that stuff, but good night. That's not the major thing. It's the spiritual development of a child. If they're strong physically but weak spiritually, what are they going to grow up and be? My goodness sakes, we'll throw a hissy fit if a child, doesn't do well academically. But you know what? We never take a moment to consider how they're doing spiritually. I'm all for the 3 R's, reading, writing, and recess. I'm all for that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a book that's more important than any book that any teacher will ever lay in front of. That's the Word of God. And we see that this young man was raised to be a spiritual young man. To become strong in spirit, to be nurtured in his spirit. That was the most powerful, the strongest part of his being. If you spent a few minutes talking to John the Baptist, listen, you weren't impressed with his athletic prowess. You weren't even maybe impressed by his high intellect. But you were impressed by the depth of his spirituality. And again, what we need to do is realize it's more important to see what God's looking at and what he's amazed with and what gains his admiration than we do the acceptance of a world that's so perverted and off track, it's ridiculous. Oh, amen. Amen. But notice this also, and I like this, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And by the way, that means until he was 12 years old. Now, you know, I'm going to give you a couple more thoughts real quickly. Number one, he had a spiritual upbringing. He was also separated. That's not a bad word. It's a good word. He was separated from the world, and he grew up knowing what it was to live a secluded life. He was alone. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You study this all through the Old Testament, and God always goes and finds that young man or that young woman that's over here way off the beaten track, way by themselves, way out of the loop, and he plucks them out of obscurity and calls them to do something wonderful. And the ones that are worried about whether or not they're in the center of popularity and on the cutting edge of this and the cutting edge of that and how many friends and how popular. Listen, you just don't see many of them being called. Now, young people, get this. You need to learn at a very early age that it's okay to be by yourself. It's okay to be alone. If you can't be comfortable with yourself alone, then there's some things that are wrong. I mean that. Girls, listen to me. Some of you can't be happy unless you've got friends over all the time or talking to somebody on the phone. You can't just be happy in the quiet. You just can't be happy alone. Why? What is it about being alone that's uncomfortable to you? God reached down and took this future prophet, and he took his mom and dad and said, listen, I'm going to give you a miracle baby, and I want you to take them out in the wilderness, and I want to keep you. Listen, it's okay. Let the people say what they want to say. But it's all right to keep your children away from the influences of the world. It's all right. Now, I know you're going to be called everything in the book. I know the worldly people are going to look. The carnal Christians are going to point at you. Those that are lost that don't understand are going to shake their heads and say, oh, I just can't believe what they're doing to their kids. That's all right. You know what? They've never raised a John the Baptist. They never raised a John the Baptist. And you know what? This country needs some John the Baptist.
Amen.
God said to this mom and dad, listen, I'm giving you this miracle baby. Now listen, you take him out here away from the influences of this world. You get him out here in the desert where he won't have to rub shoulders and rub minds and rub emotions with all the filth of this world. And you raise him out here in a very simple manner, very simplistic manner. By the way, you know what? This is crazy. But you know what John's idea of a great snack was? John, what do you want to eat tonight? Oh, mommy, can I have my favorite? What's your favorite? Locusts and honey. Wild locusts and honey. The guy didn't even know that McDonald's existed. He was so far out in the desert, you know. Watch this. He was raised very simply. He was raised separated from this world. He was raised secluded. It was okay for John to be alone. You know what? Because when he was alone, he realized he wasn't alone. You know, this is the great thing about it. We're afraid to be alone, not because we're afraid of us, because we're afraid of him. You get by yourself and you get somewhere quiet. You get away from turn the stinking rock music off. Get away from all the influence of the world. Get to where it's quiet somewhere. And you know what? You finally, for the first time in your life, have a chance to hear the voice of God. And that scares some people. It didn't seem to bother John. He just wandered out there in the desert. And they'd say, John, what you doing? Talking to God. John, what you doing? Fellowship with the Lord. John, what you doing out there? Practicing preaching, Mom. God told me I'm going to be a preacher. That's all right. You know, I wish I could free some of you parents from this burden, these chains that you're wrapped. Honestly. This massive concern that you carry around all the time, so worried that your kids aren't going to measure up to the world's standards. You know what I say to that? Brother, the world don't measure up to God's standards. We're not following them. We're not below them. We're way ahead of them. You're raising your children for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're head and shoulders above the rest. Are you getting this? He's an amazing guy. He's an amazing guy. He's just a kid. He's not 12 years old yet, but he's amazing. I like that. I want that to burn in your hearts. I want this to burn in the hearts of every child, every teenager in here that, you know what? It's okay to be different. You know, when the world laughs at you and makes fun of you because you're not like them, do you understand that they're paying you one of the greatest compliments they can ever pay you?
Amen.
So just get a big smile on your face and say, that's right. That's right. Jesus, girl, that's right. Say it louder because that's what I am.
Amen.
Billy Bible, that's right. Yeah, shout it from the rooftop because you know what? I'm God's. My parents prayed for me to get here. They've dedicated me to God. And you know what? I'm not going to deviate from that. I'm here for a reason. And I'm here for a purpose. And I'm not here to see how much money and toys and material things I can collect in my lifetime. I'm here to find the will of God and do it. That's what I'm here to do. Pretty amazing young man, isn't he? Now let's go to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Then we see this time of quiet and preparation, folks. And it's been a while. And now out of the wilderness strides John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Mark chapter number 1. I've got a couple of Baptist jokes I want to tell here, but I'm not going to do it, all right? But John the Baptist. By the way, I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm not against people that aren't, but I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I mean that. I think we have a wonderful Baptist heritage. And I heard a preacher once say, you know, he said this. He said, you know, if a Catholic baptized you, you're a. And if a Methodist baptized you, you're a. And if a Baptist baptized you, you're a. Who baptized Jesus? Amen? And that might help you a little bit, all right? Okay, sorry about that. I was going to resist, and I just couldn't. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Watch this. Let's read this, and then let's get a sense of this man and his ministry here. And this is a summarization, if you will. Maybe not as detailed as the other Gospels, but a good overview of what John was put on this earth to do. Chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Did you see that? That's his ministry. That's his purpose. That's why he was placed on this earth. You have one main job. Jesus is coming and you need to get people ready for it. Well, you know what? That doesn't sound that much different than our main job. Only Jesus is coming the second time instead of the first time. Our job's almost exactly the same as John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Get people ready because Jesus is coming. And he said, listen, you're to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair. You know, he didn't care if it was designer clothes or not. He didn't get caught up in all this nonsense. I'm sorry. Some of you just need to ease up. You need to take a deep breath. You got to, you know, whatever the tag on the back of your britches, it don't make you any more a better person or worse person than somebody don't have that tag.
Amen. Amen.
We're so dumb. We've been so hyped by Hollywood and so hyped we're just insane. You can walk in a store and there's a sweatshirt. Oh, you know, this is okay. I'm going to preach this.
Amen.
Walk in a store and there's a sweatshirt. It's no different than this sweatshirt. But this sweatshirt says some queer name on it, you know. Designer. This one's, you know, $79 and this one's $19.95. And we'll spend $80 on the same thing. You know, something's wrong with that.
Amen.
You know, I can grab this sweatshirt, put it on, and I'm Jerry Ross. I can take this one off, put this one on, I'm still Jerry Ross.
Right.
And then transform me into cool. Hey, if you ask my girl, that's an impossibility. No matter what I put on, I never get cool. So you know what? I just gave up. I don't even try to be cool. I just try to be the person God created me to be. And again, aren't we talking about this instead of this? I don't think God looked down one time and seen John dressed a little different than everybody else and said, oh my goodness sakes, look at that guy. Oh, I can't use him. He don't have designer camel hair. Now, we're just country folk here. You know, don't start putting on airs, you know. Okay, honestly. You know, just be who God made you and don't get caught up in all this nonsense, you know. All right, I need to get off that. Here we go. The ministry of John the Baptist, what was it? Just prepare the way of the Lord. And verse 7, and he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I have indeed baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now here's the ministry. Well, let's get this, because let's focus back in on the point. Why was John put here? Because Jesus was coming. And his job was to let everybody know that Jesus was coming. To prepare the hearts and make sure that they were ready to receive the Savior. That was his job. That's my job. That's your job. That's every child here job that's a saved, born again child. That's every teenager's job. That's every man in this room's job. That's every woman in this room, Rob. Hey, we're here to let folks know Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming. Hey, you better get ready. He's coming. He's coming. That's our job. Boy, that makes life easy. I don't get up, Brother Joe, every day and try to redefine what I am or who I am or what my job is. It's just real easy. I'm just supposed to go around and help people to get ready because Jesus is coming. If they're lost, the best way to get ready is to get saved. If they're saved, the best way to get ready is to get right. Hey man, that's good. That'll just keep you focused on the straight and narrow. That'll keep you on the right path. Now let me have you jump over to John chapter number 1. Now we're getting into the meat of the message, folks. And we're almost there. The train slowly chugged up the hill. It's reached the crest. We're going to go down in fast fashion and we're going to be done. John chapter number 1 and verse number 15. I want to talk to you a little bit about the message of John the Baptist. Yeah, he had a ministry and it was very clearly defined. It was very focused to a very pivotal point. And his job was to come to announce to the world that Jesus Christ was coming and that they need to get ready. If you listen to his message, it's amazing though, folks, because I think sometimes we become ineffective in our ministry because we deliver the message improperly.